I wonder, can anybody tell me, and this is not a difficult question, okay, but can anybody tell me what people around the country were celebrating last night? Who can tell me?
Halloween?
Halloween party.
Halloween, well done. Halloween, exactly. Halloween is a night when people in this country and in other countries around the world, especially in America, it's very big in America, when people celebrate all things scary and spooky. And people wear spooky costumes and they put pumpkin lanterns up in their windows. And I don't know whether you've noticed, but this year it seems people have really gone for it in a major way. There's a house on our street which really went to town with fake spiders webs, zombies, and all sorts of other stuff draped over it. And actually they decorated it over a week ago. And as we were driving back through the Yorkshire Dales yesterday, we went for a night away while we could. And as we were driving back yesterday, I noticed garden after garden where people had really gone to town on Halloween. And I wondered, why is that? And it actually occurred to me, I think the reason why people have gone for Halloween in such a big way this year is because with all the doom and gloom around COVID-19 and the lockdown, being around, people just wanted something to look forward to, didn't they? People just wanted something to take their minds off the drudgery of the coming winter and lockdown and all that sort of stuff that we're having to contend with at this time. But you know what? As followers of Jesus, we have something far, far, far better, so much more exciting to look forward to than Halloween. And that's what our reading this morning was all about. And it was from a book in the Bible called Revelation. Now, Revelation is the very last book in the Bible. And it's basically a written record of a series of amazing visions that a guy called John had almost 2,000 years ago. Now, we don't know exactly who John was, okay? Many people think, and I'm one of them actually, I think that the John who wrote Revelation down, he's the same John as the John we read about in the Gospels, the John who walked around with Jesus for 3 years and who saw him do all this stuff, the Apostle John, okay? That's who I think it was, but I might be wrong. Other people think that he wasn't the Apostle John. He was another John, another senior leader in the church, in the first century. So, you know, we don't know exactly which John it is. It's probably one of those two. But we do have a photograph of him. There he is, okay? There's John, photograph taken at the time, or maybe not. Anyway, but whoever John was, whether he's the Apostle John or another John, okay, life was not easy for him because John lived in the time of the Roman Empire. And the Romans really, really, really did not like Christians at that time. And so they persecuted them. They killed them. They threw them into prison. Or sometimes, as in John's case, what they did with John was they sent him away to live on a remote island where he wouldn't be able to tell anybody else about Jesus. So John was going through his own lockdown, if you like, at the time when he wrote down these visions that he got from the Lord. And so picture the scene. John is praying all alone when he hears a loud voice behind him. I think this is the moment at which this photograph was taken, actually. He hears a loud voice behind him say, it sounded like a trumpet, saying, "Write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches." And basically there were seven churches around Asia at that time that these visions were to be written down for. And John, he's really startled by this. This is not something that he was expecting to happen. And he turns around to see who it is who's speaking to him. And he sees an incredible, mind-blowing vision of Jesus. Okay, and if you want to read what he saw exactly, you can read about it yourself in Revelation chapter 1. It's incredible. Anyway, John goes on to have a series of visions which are given to him by Jesus to show him some really important stuff. It shows him the spiritual reality of the world around him, what's going on in the world around him right then, and importantly, what is going to happen in the future. And one of those visions is what we heard Mary, Dad and Sophie read to us a few moments ago. And it's so exciting because it's a vision of our future. Now, I want to pause now for a minute, okay? And I want to ask you, okay, a question. If you could have a superpower, it could be any superpower, okay, what would it be? Anyone want to suggest a superpower that they'd want? You can put it on the chat function if you want, or you can unmute yourself and tell me, tell everybody. Oh, everyone's thinking hard about what superpowers to have. There we go. Oh, Angela says she'd like to be able to rescue people from dangerous situations. That's a good one. Eradicate disease, say V and Liz. Brilliant. Yeah. Zach says, my kids say they'd like to fly. Yes, brilliant. Helen says to be wherever people felt that wherever I went, people felt abundantly loved. Wow, that's an amazing superpower. Loads of really cool ones. I was thinking about pretty trivial ones. Helen says, fly like a bird. Simon says, now we're getting more like it. Yeah, fly like a bird. Super. That's what I thought. I thought maybe he'd want to fly, or maybe he'd like to have superhuman strength. Like me, no. Or maybe you'd like to make yourself invisible so that nobody could see you. That would be a cool one. Imagine what you could get up to. Or maybe you'd like to be able to see into the future. Because that's exactly what Jesus allows John to do in this vision. And because John wrote it down, it means that we can see into the future too. We can see into our future. Because this passage that Sophie and Meredad read to us a few moments ago is a vision of our eternal destiny, of our forever future, if you like. So what does John see in this vision? Let's have a look. He sees this. He sees a great multitude. In other words, a huge crowd of people. So many people, it would have been impossible for him to count them all. But it wasn't just a great crowd. It's a great crowd from every nation, every tribe, every people group, and every language. So in other words, people from all over the world. And what are these people doing? Well, John says they're standing before the throne and before the Lamb. The Lamb? Standing before the Lamb? What one of these things on the screen now? Is that what John means? Is that what he sees in his vision? What is the Lamb that John's talking about in his vision? Who can tell me? Kids, can anyone want to tell me who that is? Elsie, come on. God. Yeah. Yes. Jesus. That's right. Exactly. He sees Jesus. Well, why does he call Jesus the Lamb? Well, before Jesus came, God's people had to sacrifice a lamb for their sins to be taken away. That's the way that God had given them to be forgiven. But when Jesus came on the scene, John the Baptist, another John, said this. He said, look, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And when Jesus died on the cross, he became the sacrifice for us to take away all our sins. And not just all our sins, but the sin of the world. And so in this vision, John sees this great crowd of people from all over the world standing before Jesus and worshiping him. And what an amazing scene it is. It's a huge crowd of people rejoicing in the presence of Jesus, our King, the Lamb of God, who loves us so much that he gave up his life for us on the cross to take away our sin and the sin of the world. And so that vision of all those people, that huge crowd of people standing worshiping Jesus, that is a picture of our future. We will be in that great crowd, and it's going to be awesome. But you know, this won't be a private gathering of people who look and sound like us. You know, in our gathering this morning, we've got people from Britain. We've got people from Iran. Have we got any other nationalities present? I'm sure we have one or two other nationalities present. Okay, and that's wonderful. That's a little foretaste of what's to come. But no, when John sees this vision, he sees people in this crowd from every nation on earth. So here's the next question for you, next quiz question. I want to, in the chat function, I want you to type in the names of as many countries as you can think of. Okay, go for it. So do one at a time so we can see them. There you go. Nepal, Tibet, Canada, Japan, Iran, China, India, Latvia. Wow, this is cool. Laos, Korea, Egypt, Spain, Pakistan. This is great. Wow, what a lot of countries. Okay, now let's see how many different languages we can think of. So now we've done countries. How many different languages can you think of? So we've got Farsi, Swedish, English, Spanish, Japanese, French, okay, Arabic, English, Urdu, Italian, German, Italian, Thai, wow, Esperanto, whoa, Punjabi, brilliant, Portuguese, Gaelic, excellent. I thought I said garlic for a minute, but Gaelic, Hindi, French, Hebrew, this is brilliant. Well done, guys. Yorkshire, whee, excellent. Well done. Okay, let's pause there. Okay, this is great. Got lots of different languages as well. Lots of different nations, lots of different languages. Now I'm going to share a screen and I've got a little fun quiz for you. Okay, so I wonder if you can guess how many nations do you think there are on Earth? Because we've put a few down there, ones that we can think of. How many? Somebody guess a number. How many nations on Earth? Not my kids, because you know the answer to this one, or Zach does. Okay. How many? Have a guess, somebody. Put it in the chat function. Don't be shy. Okay, 124, says Helen. 195, says Naomi. 427, says Sandra. Angela says 300. The closest is Naomi. Very well done, Naomi. The answer is 197, if you include the Vatican and some other nation, I can't remember which it is. It's Palestine, I think. There's 195 were part of the European United Nations plus those two others. Great, well done. Excellent. Okay, next question. How many different ethnic groups are there? Okay, so you've got British, Persian, you've got Turkish, various ethnic groups. How many different ethnic groups do you think we've got? Azadeh says 16. Sandra says 427. Naomi says 650. Naomi, are you Googling, or have you've checked my slides, haven't you? Bardi, that's to say 650. You are right. No, 650. Did you cheat?
No, we did it in geography on the last week before half term.
Oh, amazing. Excellent. Well done. Well done. Okay. So Naomi, if you know the answer to this one, wait for other people to guess first, okay? Because you're the expert on this. Okay, how many different languages are there? That's the next question, okay? How many different languages? 5,000, says Fazane. Any advance on 5,000? 625, 400, 250? Okay, you guys are going to be amazed. 7,000, says Zach. Okay, you ready for the answer? The answer is 6,500. Bardia and Atia, you've definitely seen the answer to this. In fact, you have, because I sent you a copy of my talk before. I didn't have to translate. Well done. Well done. 6,500 different languages. Isn't that amazing? You see, the world is a very diverse place, isn't it? Really diverse. But sadly, right now, when we look in the world around us, we can see it's also a very divided place, isn't it? What do we see as we look at the news or read our newspapers? We see wars, don't we? Different nations at war with each other. We see racism. We see jealousy. We see hatred. And as human beings, we have this tendency to put up walls, to put up barriers, to separate ourselves from other people who are different from us. There's something about human beings which means we want to do that. But here's the wonderful message from the vision that John had that he recorded in chapter 7 of Revelation. One day, all those things will be in the past, because Jesus died to tear down, yes, to tear down the barriers that existed between us and God. When Jesus died on the cross, he tore those down. But he also died on the cross to tear down those barriers that exist and which separate us from one another, that separate different races from each other. And that's why when we share the Lord's Supper together, we often say this prayer, don't we? Though we are many, we are one body. Why? Because we all share in one bread. Because Jesus, the bread of life, gave up his life for us so that we can be one with God and one with each other. Brothers and sisters from all over the world, together adopted into God's family. And the vision that John received from the Lord shows us what that will look like when Jesus returns, when he comes back to the earth to establish his kingdom finally and completely here on earth. What will we see? We'll see people drawn from every nation on earth, from every culture, from every people group, from every language, all united in ecstatic worship of Jesus, our King, overwhelmed with love and with gratitude and with joy for the love that he has lavished on us. And there are no words to describe just how wonderful that will be. I cannot wait. You know, for us as followers of Jesus, that means that suffering, no matter how intense it is, no matter how much we're finding lockdown hard, no matter how much suffering we go through in life, whatever it may be, no matter how intense it is, it's only temporary. Hardship, struggle, and yes, lockdown and the isolation that brings will come to an end. Because our eternal destiny is to be in the presence of King Jesus, worshipping him with pure, unadulterated joy forever and ever and ever. Amen. Amen. And as it says at the end of Revelation chapter 7, we didn't quite get to that part in the chapter, but it says this. He says, God himself will wipe away every tear from our eyes. That means no more suffering, no more struggle, no more isolation, no more racism, no more persecution. Just limitless joy and endless wonder in the presence of our Saviour. And all those throughout history, from all over the world, from every nation, every tongue, every tribe, every ethnic group, every language, all who surrendered to Jesus' infinite love and mercy will all be gathered together, worshipping him in the fullest of joy imaginable. And you might be worshipping in your own front room today. You might be worshipping on your own. And your heart may well be aching for the day when we can all gather together to worship in our church building once again. And that day will come. But an even better day is coming. And I can't wait. But you know, that future reality that we're talking about, when we're all gathered together with every nation from around the world to worship Jesus with unbelievable joy and ecstasy. Okay, that future reality, we can experience that as a present reality in our lives right now. Did you know that? Because if you have surrendered your life to Jesus, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, Paul writes this, that God has raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. In other words, you, if you've given your life to Jesus, spiritually speaking, you're already there. You are already united with Christ and seated with him in the heavenly places. And that means no matter what you're going through in life right now, and no matter what you may go through in this world, in the future, you can still experience the joy of being in his presence right now. Right now, we are already united with brothers and sisters from every nation, every culture, every ethnic group, and every language on earth. And if that makes you feel uncomfortable, then you need to ask God to help you to change, because eternity is a very, very long time. So this morning, I want to encourage you. You know, if this is true, and God's word promises that it is, if we are already seated with Christ in the heavenly realm spiritually, I want to encourage you this morning, live that out. Why not set aside some time every day just to enjoy being in the presence of Jesus, our King, to enjoy worshiping him, singing out your praise and your thanksgiving to him, and rejoicing and experiencing his limitless love for you. Why not do that? And one final point, together as his people here in Bradford, let's make a point of welcoming people, not just from Iran and from Britain, but from people from anywhere and everywhere into his family, brothers and sisters, all equal under God. You know, we've got people from, I think, pretty much every nation on earth already in Bradford, I think. And why not make it our priority to welcome every person from every nationality into the presence of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, united in our love for God and each other. Amen. We're going to sing a song now, which is taken directly from this the passage that we've had read to us this morning, and you'll recognize the words as you sing them. You probably know the song already. It's called "Salvation Belongs to Our God." So let's worship Jesus together with the words of this song.